Hello, everyone. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, depending on when you're tuning in to this Lilydale radio show. Who are these spiritualists? My name is Stacey Sherman, and I am the host of this once a month radio blog for Lilydale Assembly, the one of the oldest and largest running spiritualist communities. Moving into our 145th year in 2024, just right around the corner. I'm super excited for tonight's guest, the Reverend Debbie Mallison. Her and I have started our journey into spiritualism about the same time. We're really good friends, and I'm super, super excited to share her with you. I am excited to keep Who Are These Spiritualists going. For Lilydale, because it really wants me to be able to highlight people who are current day spiritualists, keeping the spiritualist movement alive and thriving. So I'm excited to do this. I too am a spiritualist and actually the owner of Sacred Grounds, co-owner of Sacred Grounds Coffee House in Lilydale, New York. So be excited for tonight's guest. Debbie is a spiritualist minister, teacher, medium healer, and we're going to talk about her books too. She's also an author. So let me get Debbie on for tonight's discussion. There we go. All right, Debbie. Yay! Hi, Debbie. Thanks for being on my show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. I did, when I was introing you, I did say that we kind of our paths crossed very early on in our intro to spiritualism. But that's about all I gave away. I wanted everyone else to hear your experience. So tell me. And tell our viewers how and when did you find spiritualism?
I always had this set of beliefs and this way of looking at things all my life. I wasn't brought up overly religious. My parents were technically Episcopalian, but they didn't attend church. So I didn't have a lot of Christian influence, which was probably good. And I hit an age where all of a sudden I felt this calling to find God, to understand God. And it was almost physical. And I spent 2 years going to different churches and different religions and just sitting in there. And I would feel like it's just not, this is just not it. It's just not it. But I would see I stuck with one for a year, not because I believed in it, but because I could see the aura around the pastor of the church, and it was so pure, and he believed everything he was saying, and that kind of was a draw for me and kept me coming. But none of them rang home, and I was sitting talking with my really good friend, your stepmom, and I said, I can't believe it's so hard to find a church that just believes, sees God and all that, how I see, because I don't feel the way I saw God and the universe as being odd. And she said, oh, Stacy is attending this spiritualist church. You should try that. And so I did. It was the first week in January of 2013. And I walked in and I felt like instantly, like this is it. And there was no real reason for me to feel that way. I didn't know anybody, and you hadn't seen me yet. But there was a comfort in it. There was just a comfort in the energy. And then the service, you guys were so welcoming. You and the other people that were working with you at that time were just very welcoming. And I was so shy, sat in the back, couldn't move, couldn't go up for healing, nothing. But the whole service, I thought, this is it. This is it. This is what I believe. And the principles, and it just really resonated. And I thought, this is what I've been looking for. And that was it. That was it. I stuck with it after that. It's been my passion and my commitment.
Talk about, I know you gave away some of it, but talk about that small worldism. If you guys
Yeah.
would, if you would understand at a time when that was, right?
Yeah.
Almost 10 plus, I don't know, however many years ago now that has been, We didn't even live close to our church. Like
No.
we were both from the very same almost small town, right? About 45 minutes south of Milwaukee. So we would have to drive almost an hour each
Yes.
week to go to this spiritualist church. And we were kind of always in each other's energy fields, but
Yeah.
not real communicative, right?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, yep, that day she walks in. So obviously, you talk about having the feeling of just walking in and knowing this is it. And as you started learning about like modern spiritualism, what was it about it that kind of like kept drawing you in and in and in?
Well, the whole philosophy of it, I mean, I always was mediumistic my whole life. So I was always talking to the other side. I grew up doing that. I grew up seeing colors around people. I didn't call them auras because I didn't know. I just knew when I looked at someone, they had a color around them, and then I knew how to talk to them. So then I get involved in all this that just resonates exactly with what I believed in. I love the fact that spiritualism, walk your own path, seek your own truth, all of those. I love that because my personal beliefs, not speaking for spiritualism, I do not believe in duality. I believe in only shades of gray. So, spiritualism gave me the freedom to look at things like that and not be odd or weird. The mediumship, the eternal life, I always believed that anyway. So, that's never had to be proven. I've never had to have that proven to me. I already knew it because of how I just was growing up. So it was the biggest thing for me was the freedom and the individuality, because I so believe everybody has the right to be different.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
that's what it believes at its core. All those beginning people, all those founders, all those people, they were perceived as different in their time. And I loved that.
Well, since coming into spirit, I mean, because I love the freedom, the personal responsibility, these are words. One thing that I was hearing Debbie say was something about like, the free thinking. Well, they talk about us being free thinkers, like the beginners and stuff like that. But since coming into spiritualism and just kind of, basically marching the path of it in a way, right? What kind of aha moments stick out to you? Those kind of, when you're on your journey and you're like, you just can't make it up type of thing. What kind of aha moments stand out for you?
Well, and this so the very first time I was there, and of course, anybody who's been to any of the church services, right? There's messages given at a point in service, and this gentleman that of course I had never met before said, "Can I give you a message?" And said to me, "You are going to be a minister, and you are going to lead this church." And I had just stepped into it for the first, and I look back because I laughed and I covered my, because I thought, what an idiot, but he's guessing. And it all happened. And I never thought there was things to becoming a minister and becoming further along in that journey that because of my home situation, I thought that can never happen. And, I would hear a voice in meditation or things telling me, do this step or do that. And it all worked. And it was just like, they want you to do this. This will happen. So, aha moment. I just would think the fact that I was able to reach that goal, because it was a goal I never, in the logical everyday world, if you sat and wrote my life out, like, yeah, that's not happening. It didn't, you wouldn't think so. And yet it did. So that was a huge thing for me that I could achieve the goal of being a minister, which for me was really a dream I never thought could happen.
Oh, is that amazing? I always love those. And I remember that too. Just cause, like I said, Debbie's probably my most closest guest I've had on the show. We've
Yes.
just been walking each other down this path, and I
Yeah.
do remember that and thinking like, that's odd. I mean, well, I was very new in my journey at that time too.
Yeah.
So it was just definitely odd. I love that. Well, one of the things that I think, we love about spiritualism is the science, philosophy, religion, that like three part. Do you find yourself attracted to, I know you did mention the philosophy aspect, but what are you more attracted to? Are you attracted to them all equally? What does it mean when we say science, philosophy, and religion for you?
Yeah, for me, as far as the science, again, I think because I grew up already believing it, the science is proving it to people who want to believe it or not sure. I've never had doubts. I don't need it proven to me. I already know it's true. So the science, like, it's fascinating. If I hear about it, it's not a passion of mine. The religion aspect of it, again, is more created to me by the people governing that. So the philosophy, because spiritualism is really a way of life. It's a lifestyle. Yeah. It was never meant to be such a tiny, organized, rule-following, belief system. So I really, it's the philosophy for me that I am really drawn to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think too, it makes, for me, the philosophy always just keeps me thinking. I remember, I think one year, I think it was maybe a birthday present. I don't remember, but you gave me a little book that says nothing is written in stone. Right. And I think
I remember what birthday, I won't say, but yes. Okay, good.
Oh, good. Pinky friends till the end, right? When you say that, I love that. But that is true. That's so, like, spiritualism teaches that to kind of think and then rethink and then continue to rethink. It's why it looks at all, philosophical texts or quote unquote religious texts. We look at all of it as this kind of think and think again.
Mm-hmm.
Think and think again.
And progressive, be progressive.
Yeah.
Life is eternal. You have to be progressive in your thoughts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then that's interesting to say that progressive, because again, one of the main reasons that I do this show is to introduce people, because so many people maybe believe in mediumship, but they don't really know what spiritualism is, or they maybe might be a medium of a different religion, or they might be a medium of a I'm non-religious, but for us, we're spiritualists. Like we kind of claim this label as something that is our truth. Right. And there's been, hundreds upon thousands and tens of thousands of us before, and hopefully tens of thousands of us going into the future. Is there any specific, maybe, pioneer or time period that you find yourself attracted to in the spiritualist movement?
Well, I love the fact there's so many women, and it was at a time when it was so challenging. Emma Harding Britton, I mean, her journey just, I felt I related so much to a lot of what she did. And she kind of, like, I don't consider myself, I'm not a rebel. I'm not a follower either. I really kind of just do my own thing and just keep going that way. It doesn't matter where it gets me. I'm going to keep doing it. And I, reading her biography, she did the same thing. It just felt like she kind of had this, this is what I believe. So I'm doing it regardless of what it looks like. And I just admire that. And I think she was very pure in how she came to it, how she tried to teach it, what she believed in. And so many of them were at that time just more pure. They weren't organized about it. They weren't structured. They didn't have this little list of you have to do A, B, and C. They let it all come through and spoke it. And that's what we're supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I think too, your point, I think a lot of people don't realize, the movement wasn't started just by one specific individual. And it wasn't really even started by the Fox sisters, even though the Fox sisters, that event of the Fox Cottage tends to be the showcase, if you would, in the publications where they Wikipedia something and then just go off of that versus actually really investigate it.
Yeah.
Is that the right thing to say?
And you read it and you're like, really? That was the best you got out of that. Yeah.
Exactly. But these women, like, it was numerous people throughout numerous parts of the U.S., but predominantly women that really stepped up and, you know, just kind of, and you got to think of that time period. A woman having a voice.
Right. And people forget that when they look back on it now.
Women having a voice and then being able to, you know, just speak in front of, and that's what I love about it too. If you really think about the movement, and I'm going on a soapbox and digressing off of our
That's
interview, but
okay.
you inspired this thought. Thousands of people would show up, not just for the demonstration of mediumship, but for the philosophical discussions and debates that occurred in halls all over the US on all, you know, basically just any subject that was inspired. And I love that you bring that up. Like, you know, with Emma, it was just like, here it is. And it's going to produce all of this, no matter if it's proof of continuity, if it's talking about what the afterlife is, where we need to go now, what we have to do in this time period. It just all came flowing out.
And that's what I think is important. I think a lot of our churches, I haven't been to a ton of spiritualist churches, but I think that's what we have. I think that's our obligation in churches of any organization that practices spiritualism is to help people to understand this isn't just coming and watching a demonstration, although that's our foundation, but there's more to spiritualism than that.
So
And
much
all of
more.
those lectures they gave, like, and she did, and many others, not just her. She just happens to be like a favorite, but she would just be like, I gotta go do this. I have to go do this. And she did.
And she did a few times back and forth. And when travel was difficult, all of
Oh,
that stuff.
and her comfort level was never good. Where she stayed, just how she was treated, you can't even imagine. Nowadays, why would you keep going? You'd just be like, why?
Yeah, exactly. So, I have to say, nice mug.
I know this friend who owns a coffee house.
Oh, too funny. Well, and I could see, okay, so obviously spiritualism and you and I love conversations that will, you know, spark knowledge, learning, debate. I mean, I think debate's healthy, right? Debate different understandings, and I can see the vastness of books behind you. So if somebody is in, you know, intrigued by spiritualism, or maybe they've been a spiritualist forever, what are some of your go-to books?
Oh, I
All
don't
of them.
have specific, honestly, I have over the years since I got involved and met this, I literally for like probably 8 or 9 years at, or no, 7 or 8 years after that, literally never read a book that was not about this topic. And there's just so many. I don't think, and see, this is where I go into this is spiritualism. There isn't like and say, okay, this is a definitive, you know, this is my reference. No, it can't be because that book was written by that person. Even spiritually, their perspective of that. So, I mean, I love Silver Birch was one of my first, and it's my favorite. And I still follow like on social media. There's somebody, I don't know who it is, that quotes Silver Birch every day, and I love that. However, you have to also look at Maurice Barbanel did not believe in reincarnation. So Silver Birch never was able to talk about reincarnation. Think about that. Think about that, you know, and that's the whole thing. So to me, there is no one definitive book to reference because every book was written by a person with their perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, one of the things for some of our listeners, some of you might hear Silver Birch and know exactly what we're talking about. Some of you might hear Silver Birch and not have a clue of what we're talking about. Well, Maurice Barbanel was a medium who would go into a altered state of consciousness, some call trance, and you know, the guide of Silver Birch would bring through information. And it's really very interesting information. But like Deb said, like Debbie said, if you know, this is the great thing about spiritualism. And I think that when we get really into the philosophical understanding of it and we really start discussing natural and spiritual laws, you truly are absolutely in control the entire time that you are demonstrating or occur or mediumship is occurring, you know, with the medium, you know. And I love that, like how you just brought that point up, like Maurice Barbonell didn't believe in it, so it was just never talked about, right? Mm-hmm. It was just never talked about. And I think one of the false kind of, I don't know, connotations sometimes you hear about mediumship is that, you know, we, you know, surrender or are taken over by spirit. That's never the case. We're always in a working negotiation of mm-hmm. some sort with spirit, aren't we?
Yeah. But yes, and that's why you can't be one person definitive.
Yeah. And I just say read. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just pull out books. You know, yeah. Read the autobiographies of our pioneers, like you brought yeah. up Emma's, you know, yeah. book. Read about natural and spiritual laws. Read mm-hmm. about mediumship and different mediums and, you know, what their spirit guides or loved ones have taught. Just read, right?
Yeah.
Speaking
yeah.
of just reading, though, the opposite of that is writing.
Yes, it is.
So tell us what you have been up to, these new things as a spiritualist.
Well, one of the things I was doing before the church is writing. I love to write. And I love to write. I don't have one genre, which probably speaks to my lack of wanting to commit to any one thing. But I've written, I'm on my fifth one, but my other four books, but every book has, without thinking, brought in the abilities in my lead character of connecting with the other world. And not ever as a big thing or not ever as, you know, but just as a facet of their personality. And then I did write one book that was about my journey. I call it a small book, but it's about my journey, how, you know, growing up like this and then finding spiritualism and how it answered every question I ever had, because that's how I define that. When people say, what did spiritualism do for you? It answered every question I've ever had. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So there's that. But yes, I love to write. I have books on Amazon.
All right. So do we find them under Debbie Lynn?
No, just Lynn. Just Lynn. Yeah.
All right. I love it. Well, we'll have
Thank
to.
You.
I'll make sure we get links up and when this goes, so anyone who's interested can read. Well,
Thank
and I think the journey into all of our journeys into spiritualism, it's quite profound for you to say that, you know, it answered all the questions. That's a great, yeah. huge statement,
yes,
right?
It is.
It's just really confirming, you know, to what spiritualism has done for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, what spiritualism can do for you, for those listening who aren't, you know, sure yet, or still kind of getting your feet wet into what spiritualism is. And, you know, that kind of leads me to the kind of final question that I always bring in is, you know, where would you like to see modern spiritualism, that movement? Because I truly believe we're a movement. I think you and I have talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, progress, movement, whatever word you want to use, we need to continually keep, you know, progressing and moving forward. So where would you like to see spiritualism go?
Well, I think first of all, we need to just have it go somewhere. I think it is just sort of stagnant. I mean, these people work so hard and to form all this, and it just feels to me that over the years, it gets narrower every year. Like, we're trying to form it and make it way too orthodox in practice and in belief. I would like to see it, first of all, wider spread, you know, and this is the good thing, again, when we talk, and you and I have hours of bringing people into churches so that they're not just coming to get a free message, right? They're coming
right.
to hear because they can embrace it as a whole belief system if they really have it explained to them right.
Yes.
So I think spiritualism could be much more predominant in society if people really were taught the whole apple, you know, and not just the good part. You know, I think that especially given, you know, your generation and younger, they don't want the confines of a religion or a belief system that has rigid rules and confines them. And I think we don't. I would like to see more gatherings, another thing you and I talk about, instead of calling it a church service and saying gatherings. Now, there's a whole lot of people that need the comfort and structure of a church service, and that's fine. We have those. But I also think there's a place for different types of gathering. The important thing to me is, first of all, make us known, get us out there. Don't be so ashamed and just, it's not a cult. It's not just people sitting in a dark séance room, because you don't even need to do all that. You know, just all of those things. I would like to see a movement. I don't feel there is one. I feel like it is just kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
So be proud. You know, I remember when I first was going to, and I know you know this, when I was going to be ordained, and we have people in our religion, right, who their families do not know they come to a spiritualist church, right? They carry like a bit of shame. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I have to tell my dad, who is 84, that this is what I do and what I believe in, because it would be hypocritical to take those vows and then hide from. And I called and told him loud and proud. And he actually was like, oh, my parents are British. So spiritualist church on every corner over there. So he just called his brother-in-law over there and talked about it. But it was, it just is the thing of, that you can't be hole in the corner of it. And I think it's gotten way too pushed back into garages, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, and I have to agree with you on so many levels. And again, it's not just that Deb and I are friends, because let me tell you, we have probably disagreed just as much as we've agreed or challenged each other in our thoughts and our perspectives. And I've definitely learned a lot and have grown in our, you know, just having our friendship and discussions. But you bring up really good points. And I say this a lot on this show, like Moses Hall, who's one of our pioneers, right? Him and his wife, Maddie, they were kind of teachers from the Ohio area originally, then moving to Wisconsin to help in Morris Pratt. And anyway, so forth and so on. One of his main things when he was first, because, you know, again, that time, 1909, you're not talking a very old organization. You know, you're not talking, you're talking where they were kind of fresh into the movement, right? Mm-hmm. Like 1848, you're talking what, maybe 60 years in, that's kind of young, right? That's it's the lifespan, you know, of a person, right? So it's pretty young. And Moses Hall always talked about that spiritualism was not necessarily supposed to be its own organized, rule carrying type of orthodox religion. It was meant to enhance all religions, because all religions, maybe with the exception of agnostic, maybe, I mean, they all believe in some form of afterlife, regardless if they keep coming back or they stay or they go or here this way or that way. And spiritualism was meant to prove it.
Yeah.
Just say, here, the afterlife does exist, because here's this demonstration of mediumship, you know, and then the science, the philosophy kind of backed that idea of demonstration. And we have to get more in, you know, I struggle, and I, you know, we're totally going off a soapbox now. So now you'll know what our phone calls are like, you know, over our coffee in the morning, is because labels aren't important, but yet sometimes they are important.
Right.
And I think when you're using a label that empowers you to empower others, not empowers you to make you higher than or greater than another, but if you're using a label that empowers you to be the best you to help mankind, there's some pride of sense in that. And, you know, I use the label of, yes, I am a spiritualist, a spiritualist medium, a spiritualist minister, whatever you want to call it. I put the word spiritualist because to me, that label is important.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we don't hear a lot of people standing up and saying, oh, by the way, you know, here's, you know, I am this, you know, I'm a medium. All right. Yes. Are you a spiritualist medium? And then what's the difference? Because it's about education too, right?
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, it's not. And that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks with all of it.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're spot on by teaching them the whole apple, you know, because like I said, like Deb's right. We've had a time and experience together in, you know, running churches and doing, you know, and doing all of that stuff. And you deal with all different sorts of people, and you have to kind of find something that works for most of the mass, but, you know, individual to each one. Oh, very interesting. So now my mind's going about the apple. I love it. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Always have to have a metaphor.
I know, that's a good one. That's a good one, absolutely. So I know that, oh wait, I just like, holy, my, I was just going somewhere and then it just disappeared. Oh, and goodness. I know, don't you hate that when it happens? It's like, where, catch it, where does it go? Where does it go? Well, again, one of the reasons we do this show, or I do this show for Lilydale, is just to kind of introduce people, because we really are all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we really are in almost, I truly believe we're almost in every town. You know what I mean? If we're boisterous with it, if we, you know, if we say that we're a spiritualist, that might be a whole nother thing. But the reason I love everyone hearing everyone's different stories too, is because obviously something might resonate, your experience, your words might resonate stronger with someone. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, is there any way that people can find you, like on social media or anything, where they might be able to kind of, if they're wanting to look for you, or do they just contact me and I contact
me? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have a Facebook page, but it's, you know, I just put little memes on it.
So what I don't is it? Really... Will you be, are you willing to share it?
Yeah.
Facebook page. Yeah.
Yeah.
How can they find you?
It's, I had to think of it. She created a life.
Yeah.
She perfect. Created a life. I put bits and pieces of prayers and sermons that I've written and make like little memes out of them. Kind of my cheap therapy.
Well, they're perfect and they're inspiring, and people can definitely watch them and, you know, or look at them and think about them every day. So very exciting. Thanks, Deb, for coming on my show.
Well, and thank you for, because I have walked along this journey and had a front seat with you for all these years. And thank you for what you've done for spiritualism, because you have not just talked about it. You have walked that walk, and you have made strides in areas that a lot of people would have been too scared to go. And I thank you for that.
Well, it helps when you have a really good passenger in the car that I can call up at all.
Oh, now we're just metaphoring all over the place.
I love it. I love it. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in to this month's Who Are These Spiritualists? Have a great new year, because you will see this right, I think, before the new year. So ring in. Just a reminder that you can find this on Lilydale Assembly's Facebook page live the fourth Sunday of every month at 7 p.m. Eastern. So, no, 8 p.m. Eastern. Something like that, 7 or 8. You know, time change, Deb. It really
goes, I know.
Up. It's
I know.
Only 1 hour, but I still get, like, I don't know. But anyways, or Lilydale Radio at Blog Talk. So thanks again, Debbie, for being our guest this evening on Who Are These Spiritualists? Again, you want to find her, you can find her on Facebook. She created a life. As me, your host, you can find me at spiritualiststacy.com. So if you are a spiritualist and interested in being in the show, please go to my website, give me an email, tell me about yourself, and we will see about booking into the next year. So stay tuned, everybody. Please also keep checking Lilydale Assembly, other podcasts and radio shows. There's a bunch of us that do monthly or weekly podcasts that will also help you in the journey of spiritualism. And check out Lilydale for the summer season, because it's right around the corner. That sounds so weird to say, but it's right around the corner. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a great evening and happy new year.